United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe. Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest is Bill Bretzker, a Delaware-based photographer and the current artist-in-residence at the Gettysburg National Military Park. Bill, welcome to the Seminary Explorers.
Well, thank you.
So tell us about your early mornings on the battlefield.
Oh, boy. Well,
I hear you've been getting up early.
Yes,
right?
Yes. I go to bed late after dark. I work late, as late as I can on the park. I get up at 5 or so. I don't even have an alarm clock, which is odd because normally, in my day job, I work nights, actually, mm-hmm. and I normally sleep in, but when I'm out doing this kind of landscape work, I get up before dawn, I get out, I like to work in the margins of light between mm-hmm. between full sun and full darkness. There's that period twice a day where the light is very interesting, it's very good time to work, it's good time to add my own light to the natural light. I use artificial lighting in the landscape. That's one of the projects that I've been working on. I've quite a few actually, and some are more successful than others. But mm-hmm. I've been working very hard. It's been very arduous. A couple of weeks. That's not been vacation by any means.
So. Why don't you just? You were saying earlier that you work on. You've got black and white film shots, and you're doing color digital photography, and you're doing that in particular with some light enhancements.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Do you want to describe just an example of some of what you're working on?
Well, in terms of the black and white film photography, is much kind of a traditional landscape mm-hmm. approach. I don't do a lot of artificial light, adding my own light to it. I work with kind of what used to be called, and I guess still is called, straight photography, going back to having sharp images, a lot of depth of field in the images. I work in medium format, which is a little bit bigger than 35 millimeter that most people would be familiar with.
Okay.
Work in large format, which is 4x5-inch negatives or 8x10-inch negatives. I don't say I work in, but I've been playing around with pinhole photography while I've been here, which is new to me. I've been working with making paper negatives, which is new to me. That's kind of the classic old analog photography. I've set up a black and white darkroom in my residence, which is a little unusual, to be working in a, 1830s era farmhouse on the battlefield. It has actually a pretty decent basement. They've updated
the
basement.
So the Klingel House basement is,
yes,
okay.
It's been updated. There's a
okay.
washing and dryer.
Okay.
There's a sink. It's actually a little bit nicer than my basement at home. I don't have to share it with bicycles and and the garage and all that. Working hot and cold water, my sink at home doesn't have a good faucet for both temperatures, so it's a little bit rough to work with the chemistry sometime. But that's the black and white side. The color side, as you mentioned, I have I like to work at the margins of light at dusk and dawn, when there's a lot of atmosphere, there's a lot of mood. Plus, it gives you a chance to add light to the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I add flashes of my own to do what's a lot of people call light painting, which mm-hmm. is using either a flash or a flashlight to go through the scene. You can put a spotlight on, let's say Gettysburg, there's a monument, you can put a spotlight on the face of the monument, really focus the attention right directly at what you want the viewer to see. You can kind of control mm-hmm. the whole scene a little bit differently than if we're 12 noon. The other part of that color work that I'm doing is projected portraits, where I take historical, here we are, battlefield of Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
I prepare slides that are usually portraits or group photos of participants in the battle, mm-hmm. whether it's Abraham Lincoln or General Armistead, anybody who's associated with the battle. I've been finding basically anonymous soldiers who, they have a name, we know what regiment they are with, but I can, if there is a good place to project that portrait into the scene. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Armistead Monument has a smooth side. There's some molding, some carved decor in it, but you can project his face onto it into the landscape. So it's a different way. It's a different approach of landscape photography. It's telling a story more directly. To sum it up, I take old portraits, project them onto places, in this case the battlefield, where these participants would have been involved. For instance, General Meade, I project his portrait onto the small little house where he had his headquarters. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm always looking for blank canvases out on the battlefield. Where is there something that isn't very busy, whether it's a flat boulder that doesn't have too much moss growing on it, or it's a flat side of a monument, a white house works great, like Meade's headquarters. Mm-hmm. And I use those as a canvas. I like to look for canvases, and then once I find a canvas or once I find a portrait, I need to match them up in some way to find a place like General Lee. He's a ridiculously critical part of the battlefield. Well, where are you going to put him? His headquarters maybe, but it's Fieldstone. It's not very easy to find a place to do it. The Virginia Monument, which of course he's associated with closely, does have a very wide expanses of blank stone. So I've projected his face up on there. It's some people have called it eerie, almost creepy. Some of them they look. I'm joining those two images together into one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's an interesting sense of presence, right? Because otherwise, the rest of the battlefield is in some ways like a very still park.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's. Interesting.
Well, you mentioned that it's a still park, but it's amazing how much of the park, it seems empty. There are areas where there's no roads, where there's no monuments, but there was intense fighting there just for whatever reason. However the park developed in terms of where the monuments were placed, where the roads existed at the time, or farm lanes, there are areas of really intense struggle that a visitor today, if they don't know, it might not be obvious at all. Right. Mm-hmm. We have the two main battle lines, and they're well marked, but there's an awful lot of the battlefield that's very quiet, but it certainly wasn't in 1863.
So you're a staff photographer at the News Journal and at Delaware Online. This is kind of a wild time to be a news photographer,
yes.
Isn't it? Just because
yes.
of...
Well, just being a news photographer is kind of a wild thing, and then to have survived to this point as a news photographer in the business.
As a newspaper employee at all,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. It's startling. To look around and to see what's the changes that have taken place. There's changes technologically that have changed radically. When I started, it was all film. It mm-hmm. was black and white. It was only 20 years ago. When I started as before a full-time employee, when I was very young as a photographer, most places were just incorporating color, black and white was still a standard thing to shoot. It would be, we can shoot color on this, we can shoot black and white. You have to know what film to have in your camera. And then technologically, obviously, the digital age and the internet age changed all that, just in terms of how we do our job. But then the whole media landscape is obvious has changed radically in that time as well. So there's those two major changes, both the overall landscape of basically the business side, mm-hmm. In terms of is there even, can newspapers, can journalism survive? That has been a radical difference in just my short time and the way I do my job as well, and the requirements of the job mm-hmm. are radically different. I couldn't have imagined 20 years ago shooting video all the time, having to keep up with social media, and to needing to promote yourself and the work that you do. I'm not really comfortable with the promotion side of things, but it's basically a requirement of the job now is to be very active on social media.
Well, and it's It's fascinating also thinking about what you do, your day job, or technically your night job, right? Because you work,
yeah,
a lot at night.
That's right.
So here you are on a battlefield that was one of the earlier, it wasn't the first, but it was one of the earlier battles to be documented by photography. I'm sure you probably feel the ghost of Matthew Brady sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Alexander Gardner in particular. Sure.
Yes, yeah. So that must also be just an interesting juxtaposition for you during your residency here.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of in the back of my mind. I mean, I have extreme admiration for the work that they did. Gardner and his crew, Brady, you know, came in a week or so later, of course, and the way they were able to work in the field with the materials that they had to work with is just extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew what they were doing, and they knew very well what they were doing and how to do it. And they couldn't just come in and make it up on the fly. They had to have been very experienced. And,
yeah.
You know, Timothy O'Sullivan, who was with Gardner, he's often referred to him as one of his assistants. But, I mean, they were really... They were all experts, the main camera operators. They were just very experienced at what they were doing. And O'Sullivan went on to probably greater significance than Gardner did, or greater fame, really, with this, the work that he did in the West after the war. But, yes, I feel that presence. I admire them greatly. I study the photographs. It's fascinating to me. You know, last 20 or 30 years, the whole field of study of Civil War photography has just boomed, and it's become thanks to a few individuals in particular, but it's really fascinating to look at, and there's a lot you can learn from those photographs. You know, we learned stuff today that wasn't important at the time, but that information is stored in those photographs. Some of them are immensely detailed. They're using, you know, the 8x10 cameras, some of them. I'm not sure what the technical difference is, but it's something like 80 or 100 or more times more information than a 35mm frame. And that's, they didn't make big prints, they didn't have scans, but today we can go in and look very closely and see details that were lost for 100 years that no one thought to look at.
Wow. Bit of detective work done.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just follow along with what other people find. I just find it fascinating. It's you can look at these pictures all day. I mean, it was not the first war, but it was to be photographed, but it was certainly photographed in extreme detail.
Mm-hmm.
Once it started, there was just thousands and thousands of images surviving.
Mm-hmm. You have you've been visiting the battlefield for a couple of decades, haven't you? So it's not your first time here. And do you have, I don't know, anything you want to share about some of your observations coming over a long period of time? I mean, the battlefield has, even though it's preserved, it also evolves in its own way, right? And you have grown and evolved in your own way. I don't know, is there something that maybe is striking to you now, looking back on how?
Well, when I first started coming here in like the mid-90s or so.
Okay.
There was a period of...
Where the old visitor center was.
Yes, here,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
For example, yeah.
Yeah, the National Tower was here. There was, I thought it was a period of very striking change for 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. It was a period of striking change. The tree line, either removal or restoration, depending on exactly what it was. Again, looking at a lot of these old photographs, they realized, hey, it doesn't make any sense for there to be a tree line directly in front of this artillery position, for one thing. I thought it was a time of radical change, and it was a time of radical change. But then I looked back further, and I realized the battlefield's been changing, you know, for a long time, since before the battle, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the time of the battle on, there was commercial operations on the field that we would be aghast if we came upon them today. That have been long removed, and it kind of changes how you look at the battlefield. You realize, well, there was a Stuckey's restaurant here, and there was 30 buildings at this, small buildings, I'm sure, but in this particular area, and they've been, thankfully removed. And of course, the town of Gettysburg has grown, and it in some ways it's encroached on the battlefield, or maybe some ways the battlefield has encroached on the town, but we're very lucky it's been preserved as it has, or in a lot of cases restored. But to get back to when I started coming here, a lot of the change, besides the major changes like the National Tower being removed, was the cyclorama and the visitor center going away. I think more important than all that is the restoration of those either open land or restoration of the orchards and the tree lines. I think that the what's known as the Kodori Trosil Thicket between the area between the major areas of fighting on the second day, when that was cut down because trees had grown up and completely obscured the battlefield, when that area was removed, it really changed the way I looked at the battlefield of the second day and the third to some degree. I'm still surprised to look at it, and I have to remember, wait, if I stood here on, say, near the peach orchard or the Trosil farm, you couldn't see the Pennsylvania Monument. You could just see the very tip of the Pennsylvania Monument, whereas today it's much more open. The thicket is still a thicket. It's a little impenetrable, but it shrank the battlefield. It made it much more understandable. It connected those two parts of the Union line in particular that was where the Confederates came crushing through, and it made it much more apparent to me what happened. And it's still a complex battle, and I still only know 0.5% of what really happened, but the interpretation changed for me, and I think that the park, the government did a great job in restoring those views, and I think that was... I know that there was some criticism at the time for cutting down trees. They've also planted trees, too. I think it's important to remember. And I think that they really need to be applauded for those actions, because it's critical to understanding the battle.
Yeah, and it was part of a concept. It wasn't random, it was very specific.
They don't do everything perfectly, but they got that one pretty good.
Yeah, very good. Well, the examples of your work that I've seen are really beautiful and very atmospheric. What you do with light, I think, really brings a sense of mood and atmosphere, and that's quite...
Yeah, well, mood and atmosphere, I mean, that's... And trying to be evocative of the time, trying to tell stories. Those are... If I had to use one word, it would probably be mood. Trying to impart some kind of mood to the pictures. That's one thing that's changed in my work. In 1995, I was making basically postcard pictures. Nice, aesthetically pleasing scenics, silhouettes, cannons, and sunsets. I realized looking around, especially in the boom of digital photography, that it's, I'm not going to say easy, but it's more common to make those pictures now. You see them a lot more often, and I realized, I've kind of lost interest in that sort of work. I want to do something different. I want to do something that looks different, that is, I hate to use the word unique, because there's almost never anything completely unique, but I think I'm close with some of the projected portraits and some of the light painting is not a unique thing, but in the way that I do it, it's not something that I've seen before. I have seen people do a similar technique with light painting on the battlefield, but I come at it a different approach. And certainly the projected portraits I haven't seen. I've seen some Photoshop kind of versions, but I think that there's a certain... Even though it's me making a slide, projecting an image, I think there's a certain natural quality to it when you don't just do it in the computer. I think the way that the light bends around the objects, that it's not just something flat kind of pasted in. I think where you see the shadow, and you kind of get a feel that this existed even for a 60th of a second on the battlefield. It's artificial. It's a creation of mine, but it still has a sort of a presence as if it was not fake, let's say.
Well, and even when you're projecting something on a wall, even if you've got generally a flat surface, there is still a texture and there's still an angle, and the way the shadows are going to form, it is going to be different.
Yes.
Right? Even yes. Something that at first glance might just seem flat. It's not perfectly flat.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah. And when I say I look for those blank canvases, there is no blank canvas on the battlefield. Even a flat portion of a monument has texture to it in the granite or whatever it's carved out of. You know, the white buildings are great for doing the projections because they are pretty close to blank canvas, but
they're
You know, the siding, the wood, it shows through, and I like it to show through. I like it to have that kind of legitimate feel. Mm-hmm. It's not just like it's slapped in there.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more organic. And I recognize that it's an artifice, it's a creation of mine, but I think it's done in a way that it doesn't come across as campy, maybe.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Not the examples I've seen. Well, I wish you all the best for the rest of your days here finishing up your residency. And it's been great to have a chance to talk with you.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explores. I'm Katie Giebenhain with Seminary Ridge Review. My guest has been artist Bill Bretzker. If you want to see more of his work, look on Facebook at Gettysburg Camera. Thanks so much for your time, Bill.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.